episode 111 of the Taking the Charge podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I am David Hein of Hein News. And with me, I am on this journey all by myself again. Now. And been kind of dreading this day since Oz let me know that he wasn't going to be able to do it anymore, and trying to figure out what it's going to be like doing this all on my own. Maybe bear with me a little bit. Hopefully I can figure this out. Figure out exactly what I want to do. Maybe we can start with the NBA first games of the year were yesterday, and didn't watch any of the games. Just looking at some of the box scores, if you will. Anthony Davis definitely is going to be out there for a possible MVP candidate. With LeBron and with LeBron James and Kevin Durant, maybe Durant if he comes back and is just amazing. But I can imagine that the time he's out is too much for him to really be in the race, unless it's just, like I said, totally amazing. But in the first game for Davis in a blowout over for the Pelicans in a blowout over the Magic. 26 points, 17 rebounds, 9 blocks, 3 steals, 2 assists. I guess he's the first player to do that in a game since Hakeem Olajuwon in the 89-90 season. Just an amazing performance, and I think this is his third year in the league. People asked, there was an interview after the game saying what he thinks about being in the same discussion, mentioned in the same breath with guys like LeBron James and Durant, and he says, I'm so far away from that, and he is, but putting together some more performances like this, and it's gonna be a lot of fun watching this year, and interesting to see how much he's able to step up his game even more, and to see what New Orleans can do. San Antonio opened their campaign with a victory, a 1-point victory over Texas rivals Dallas, and this, as usual, this just the machine. Parker and Green played 34, 35. Diop played 33. Their Duncan played 30. Those numbers will after games off, after days off, those numbers could be that high. But Popovich will find his guys to be cutting down some of those minutes. You look at Diaw and Ginobili with 6 assists each, 23 assists for the game. Just moved the ball well. Hit 50% from 3-point range. Just a really good. A really good, solid performance, the Lakers game. This Lakers team is not going to be fun to watch. They're going to be a nightmare to watch. Sorry, Oz, but now you have Julius Randle going down with a broken leg, which leaves an undermanned team even more undermanned. Broken right leg, Kobe shot 17 shots. He's gonna probably have to shoot at least that many. Boozer might be there to pick up some of the slack, but man, they're not gonna win a lot of games. I don't think I'm gonna really be talking much about the Lakers. Just to kind of start off the season. I saw a note out there that the Canadians. A record. There's a record number of international players in the NBA starting this season. 101 international players, and from 37 countries and territories. That's up from 92 last year, which was the high. So that's pretty big jump in just one season. Spurs obviously lead the way with nine guys, while Minnesota and Brooklyn both have six. The top country is actually Canada. A lot of people might think France, but Canada, with all the guys that they've been bringing in, number one with 12. I guess you could actually say 13 if you included Steve Nash. But you know, you look at Wiggins coming in, Stauskas coming in this year. Ennis was there last year. Bennett was there last year. Tristan Thompson, last year or the year before. Olniak was there. The other guys you have are D'Alembert, Joel Anthony, Corey Joseph, Andrew Nicholson, Dwight Powell, Robert Sekera. We've been talking ages about the high number of Canadians, and 12 Canadians already, and with definitely more to come next year. This is a team that's gonna, this is a country, national team that's gonna be really pushing the Americans, pushing the Argentinians, pushing Brazil in the FIBA Americas, and slowly but surely can start thinking about getting podiums at international tournaments, world tournaments like the World Cup and the Olympics. The other teams in the other countries in the top five: Australia with eight. Dante Exum and can't remember the big guy with the Bulls being the two coming in this year. Brazil with seven, and Spain with only five. That number seems to be going down more and more. So they have five. I guess one of the things that I should probably do is just kind of talk a little bit about who I think might win the NBA, win the conferences. I think the West is a little evener. I don't think it's a little more even. It's not down, but I think it's a little more even. San Antonio, I think definitely have to be considered the favorite. I really think they'd have to be considered the favorite. You know, I mean, you know that Durant's going to come back, but Oklahoma City. I think Dallas could give everybody a run for their money. The Clippers, you know, now with the ownership situation figured out. Phoenix is going to get better. Minnesota is going to be up there. Golden State, obviously. Houston. It's going to be a battle. I didn't even mention Portland. There's a lot of good teams out there. The East, I mean, it really looks like a two team race between Cleveland and Chicago. Which is kind of funny that Indiana is dropping off so far so fast. I don't know, the additions that Chicago have, you have to love Pau Gasol coming in there. And there's the question, obviously, with Chicago, whether or not Derrick Rose is going to be fit the entire year. But that trio of LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving is going to be a real beast for people to defend against. And then you also you have guys like Tristan Thomas, you have Anderson Varejão. Marion is going to come on, knows what he can do, what he can't do, not do more than that. Dellavedova comes off. and gives them a little bit of things here and there. Mike Miller's there. So a lot of weapons. Brandon Haywood, a big guy to help with some of the bigger teams. A lot of depth, and I really think that it seems to me that it's going to be Cleveland and San Antonio. Whether or not that happens, you know, God only knows. But I think that that in the end, the leadership of LeBron James and also guys like Marion and Miller will be too much. Will be too much for the Bulls. I think the Bulls, you know, Rose showed at the World Cup that he could be a facilitator. Still can't shoot. You know, Gasol, having Gasol in there will definitely really help and give them a guy who could pass the ball a little bit more. Cannot wait to see what Mirotić does there. Noah is obviously a beast and just does so many things and is such a selfless guy. So having that in there is just a huge help as well. It'll be interesting to see what McDermott can do, if he can get his shot off, and if he's not too much of a defensive liability. But you still got Jimmy Butler. You still got Kirk Heinrich. You still got Taj Gibson. So it's and you still have the coach, you know, Tom Thibodeau, so there's a lot there to like, and but obviously so much depends on whether or not Mr. Derrick Rose can stay healthy. I wanted to run over to an international story that some people may have heard, some people may not have heard. Kind of an ugly scene from Josh Childress, who plays for the Sydney Kings down in Australia, and he got backpicked going down the base, playing defense on the baseline. Gets up and then comes out and just really gives a real hard elbow to a Perth forward named Jesse Wagstaff. Ugly scene. I mean, it was a clean pick. You know, I mean, put his elbows up a little high and on the back pick, could be seen a little bit as a I'm not gonna say dirty, but you know, pretty tough. But you know, Childress comes up and just gives him forearm elbow right to the throat, like as he's going to take a jumper, and just a pretty ugly scene. I only saw the highlights of the pick on the baseline, and then where he gets up and goes at him and goes for the elbow. And I didn't see, you know, any of the game, so I don't know, you know, if they were going back and forth through the game. Not that that would justify Childress going at him, but you know, Childress is by far the leader of that team, and he's just got to be able to control his emotions a little bit more than that. And he got off very leniently. You know, they only suspended him one game. I guess there's a second game where he's been suspended, but it will be. Won't come until the end of the season. What that actually means, I don't know. But then he was also fined the $3,700. Well, I guess $3,750, which would make $7,500 for unduly rough contact, and then also for publicly criticizing officials. He goes and claps at the officials afterwards. Just an ugly scene. Childress, you know, really, you know, from his time in Olympiacos, you know, he knows how crazy fandom can be, how great the game can be. But I don't know. It's just kind of a strange, you know, You never hear anything that he's kind of like this, like a guy like this at all, and put out apology afterwards, but definitely got off light. But the NBL, the Australian National Basketball League, they couldn't afford they couldn't afford a big old 5-10 game suspension because he's one of their big draws. I think the NBL is moving forward a little bit. I think they are. I think they're doing some good things. They have a good television product, which is always important. And I think the talent level is getting up there as well. One thing they really got to do is keep some of their guys at home and their young kids. Everybody's just going off to college and even high school, and that's just not gonna work for them. They have to really try to keep their kids at home, but part of that is providing them with ample opportunity to stay and to make money. And okay, the elite of the elite can go to the NBA, but like I said, there's eight Australians in the NBA. If you had a couple of those in Australia, that would improve the league that much more. So ugly scene in Australia, but it's worth it to go check out the NBL. Like I said, they have a pretty decent product, and the games are live on live basketball TV. They're not on demand. You'd have to go and buy their product, the NBL product, which in my eyes is a little bit pricey, but it is what it is. So I guess EuroLeague, unfortunately I didn't have a chance to watch very much. I was down at the Bayern Munich game against Panathinaikos. And I tell you what, if those two, we were talking a lot about Panathinaikos last week, if those two Greek kids, Pappas and Jankovic, don't play well, they're gonna struggle. Djokovic definitely showed flashes. Pappas was pretty much a non-factor. Didn't score. Had four shots. Djokovic, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. He definitely, he started both their games, and he's definitely going to be a good. He's going to be a big help for them. Batista's a beast, man. He went 9 of 11 down. He just killed the Bayern. But in the end, they just didn't have enough. Dimitidis went scoreless, 0 for 8 in almost 30 minutes. Did have 7 assists and no turnovers. Most of those turnovers went to Batista. They just tried to really work hard to get him the ball at the beginning, and they just couldn't do it. While Batista wouldn't let him, he kept on turning it over. But Bayern, Savanovic was just, really good. Hit 5 3-pointers and scored 20 points. Hit 47% from long range. Hit 58% from inside the arc. It's a pretty good team. It'll be better once Taylor comes back, but this, it's gonna be. I wonder. I'm just starting to wonder a little bit how Pezic is gonna be able to figure out the playing time. Gavel comes in with a guy who is going to be demanding a lot of time. Jedovic obviously is going to want a lot of time. What's that going to be like for a Steiger who didn't play? What's that going to be like for Shafatsik? Obviously Shafatsik is one of the main point guards, but it's going to be. I think they need Taylor back to really figure out really figure out who they are and what they can do. Don't judge this Bayern Munich team yet. You know, they're missing, they're really missing one of their best players. So until Taylor comes in, just don't pass judgment just yet. And Panathinaikos will be better. You know, they're still trying to find their way as well. But there's a lot of nice pieces there. So don't judge any of these teams. I think you really judge, you know, anybody really, you know, this early. So, you know, right now, you know, 2 weeks in, there's only 7 of 32 teams have won two games. Fenerbahce, Barcelona, Olympiacos, Unicaja, CSKA, and Real Madrid, and Efes. So, you know, I don't know if that's – we'll have to see how that looks after a couple more weeks. You know, once – if teams kind of start pulling away, you know, if gaps start coming out. So that was really the only game I watched. I wasn't able to do very much basketball watching this week, not even the German Basketball League was busy on other things, unfortunately. So I really can't speak too much about the EuroLeague. Don't worry, I do plan on getting more in next week. I did go to the Bamberg Euro Cup game where they blew out Telekom Baskets Bonn, so a home a domestic battle in the Euro Cup, if you will. And you know, they, I'm starting to like this Bamberg team already more and more. You know, they're very athletic, they're very you know, they really move the ball around a lot. They have a lot of weapons. Wanamaker just got to the basket at will and just had no issue, could do anything he wanted. And then I saw that Ryan Thompson came out and scored 35 over the weekend at home against Ulm. So, you know, this Bamberg team looks really, really good. And we'll see how they continue. They're going to be probably looking for a new guard. Now it looks like Carlin Brown's going to be out for a couple months with a cartilage issue in his knee. And you know, Josh Duncan's still not in, so they're still waiting to have him, see what he's got, what they have. So, you know, they're 5-1. Oldenburg's 5-1. They just got rid of their point guard. Their point guard, Ty McKee, just actually asked to leave. Albert Berlin was off during the week, but they're 5-0. They're the only undefeated team. Bayern 5-1, and Mitteldeutsche BC NBC has won 5 in a row, including giving Artland their second straight defeat. Questions abound right now in Artland. But you know, the other team I saw there was Bonn, and that's the team, that's where I did an interview with one of their main leaders. Why don't I introduce the interview? I talked to Angelo Calario, who came from NBC actually last season, and is with the Telekom Baskets Bonn. So here is my chat with Angelo Calario. All right. So this week we have Angelo Calario, plays with the Telekom Baskets Bonn. Sorry about that. Angelo, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you. So first of all, why don't we start off with over the weekend, you guys bounced back from your Eurocup loss against Bamberg, and you beat Göttingen, who's a team that showed how good they can be by beating Bayern at home in Munich. You guys are 3-3 in the league right now. How do you think the team is coming together so far?
I think as of late we're definitely playing better. Besides the last Bamberg game, I thought we took a little step back there, but then we came back and had a strong performance yesterday in Göttingen. But yeah, obviously we beat Artland in the last BBL game, and then the Euro Cup game before against the French team, we thought we played well and we had a chance to win. Probably should have won, but just things didn't go our way down the stretch. So really in the last four games, we thought we'd been playing pretty well, obviously, except for the Bamberg game.
Yeah, we're six games in now. Actually, I guess two ga eight all told with the Euro Cup games. Where do you think the team's biggest strength is, and maybe a weakness as well?
I would say our strength, I feel like we can really score the ball. We're quick. We need to continue to work defensively and get better because we can score the ball. I think our main thing that we just need to continue to work on is get better defensively, keep getting more stops.
And a weakness.
Yeah, I would say the weakness would just be, I don't want to say a weakness, but one thing that we can improve on would be
I
our
get it.
defense.
Yeah. Okay.
Continue to get better defensively.
Yeah. After your strong season last year at NBC, you were kind of considered a sort of a big name acquisition for Bonn. How do you feel you've adjusted to maybe higher expectations, at least going into last season, this season compared to last season?
Fine. To be honest, I just don't really, I haven't really thought about it like that. Just excited for the opportunity Bond gave me, and just love to play basketball and just have fun with it. Don't really put too much pressure on myself.
And what was the reasoning coming back to Germany? I guess apparently there were some offers from other places as well. What was the big draw to Germany?
I really enjoyed playing in this league last year. Obviously, it's really professional. I mean, basically every game, every away game you go to, every home game, they're near all the gyms are near sold out. And it's just Germany's a pretty cool place. And I had a really good experience last year, so it was nice to stay in the league.
You were the most effective player according to efficiency rating last year in the BBL. What does that distinction mean to you? I mean, really, had only had a half of a season in professional ball going into the year, and then you had such a successful season as an all-around player. What does that distinction mean for you?
Yeah, okay. It was a nice achievement for myself, just because, like you said, it kind of takes everything that you do and kind of tells you how well you are as a well-rounded player. And I definitely pride myself on that. I can rebound a little bit. I can pass the ball a little bit. I can score a little bit. Kind of do everything a little bit. And so I think that showed that, and that's definitely how I like to play. So I think that was something that I was proud of.
Okay. Yeah. What would you say is the most what was the most difficult transition from college to professional ball?
Definitely the travel, the travel. I probably had about five. Six travels my first two games professionally. And I thought I didn't know what I was doing, but after a while I got used to it. But I'm definitely traveling. I think that goes for a lot of Americans. They come over here and start traveling.
Where do you see your game now? What did you maybe work on during the summer to add to your game this season?
Wasn't a little lagging from just getting stronger, continue to work on my shot. Just a little bit of everything. And I need to continue to, I feel like I can continue to get better. And, I think I will, so I'll continue to work on things like getting better in the post. Just a little bit of everything out there.
Let's talk a little bit about the game itself. There's a new rule with the shot clock being only 14 seconds after an offensive rebound. What kind of impact do you think that's had on the game? And maybe I assume that teams are now, a good, about a month and a half, 2 months into the season, are kind of starting to get used to it. But what kind of impact has that new 14-second rule had on the game?
I'll tell you, it's definitely had a big impact because you get that rebound, and it's obviously still an advantage, but it's not as big of an advantage on the offensive team getting an offensive rebound anymore because it only goes to 14, and you don't really have time to set up and run one of your set plays. You're kind of gonna have to just get the ball up top and go into a quick on ball, a high pick and roll, or obviously, once you get the rebound, if you just put it back in or kick it out for a quick three, but you can't really reset totally when the shot clock's only going to 14. So I'd just say it's just obviously it's just a different style that you have to play when you get that rebound and you're kicking it out. You have to be a lot quicker and be ready to go.
And do you have different sets? Like, a set for, let's say a set formation, set run, set play for, let's say, a normal shot, a normal trip down, and then maybe an adaptation for if you guys get an offensive rebound. Do you guys have specific set of plays that are designed for an offensive rebound?
Yeah, well, because you have your when you have more time on shot clock, you have your sets that are going to be a little bit longer. There's going to be more ball movement. It's going to take a little bit longer to run. With the 14 seconds, by the time you get the ball to the top of the key, probably 3, 4 seconds around, so you only have 10 seconds. So
Right.
you're going to have to run a different set that's obviously a lot shorter, more so a quick hitter.
There's a lot of rule suggestions out there. What new rule? Obviously, you came from college. There's different in college. There's even different in NBA compared to the college and the international game. What rule, if any, would you like to see added, or what rule, would you like to see taken out?
I kind of like how we do it in Euro Cup. It's actually different than the BBL. I kind of like how when there's a jump ball in Euro Cup, the two guys wrestling for the ball, they do the jump ball like you do in the beginning of the game. I think that's pretty cool. So, I mean, that'd be nice to see in BBL. Besides that, yeah, besides that, I'm not too sure.
So the no alternating possession, let's jump it up, basically.
Yeah, I kind of like the way we do that. We do that in Euro Cup. So I think that'd be nice. That's a little change.
There's
But,
a couple of crazy rules in North Korean ball. One of them is that I think the slam dunk was worth 3 points. A 3-pointer that it didn't hit the rim is worth 4 points. And if you miss a free throw, you have a point taken away. What do you think about those?
Yeah, those are crazy rules. I mean, I guess that could be a fun little game if you're playing pickup, but definitely not in the real games.
Not the serious stuff.
Yeah, not serious. But I mean, pickup sounds like it could be kind of fun, but it sounds like there'd be a lot of arguing if the ball touched the
If it
rim a
touched the
little
rim or
bit
not,
on
exactly.
three.
Lots of
Yeah.
replays then.
Yeah, exactly.
Games would
So
be a lot
I feel like
longer.
that'd be, yeah. Yeah.
Some rapid fire questions. Your first basketball memory.
I would just say playing in the backyard with my My brother and my dad. I always used to play back there. We had little hoops. Little hoops, like 6 feet tall. We'd always run around back there and play.
And when did you start playing basketball then?
I mean, my parents gave me a basketball before I could walk. So when I actually started playing, like in leagues, probably my first league was when I was like maybe 6 or 7. But yeah.
And what are you doing when you're not playing basketball nowadays?
Oh, what did you say?
What are you doing when you're not playing basketball?
I like to hang out like I've been going to Cologne's really nice, Bonn's nice, go downtown. I like to play a lot of video games. Skype with my family a lot, talk to them. Love watching TV shows. I'm on Sons of Anarchy right now. I love it.
What's it called? Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy, huh? Okay.
Yeah, great TV show.
And video games? What are you playing?
Madden and Call of Duty are my main games.
Okay, those are the go-to ones.
Yeah.
A new movie comes out. Do you read the book or just watch the movie?
Oh, what'd you say?
If a new movie comes out, do you read the book first or just go and watch the movie?
Oh, I go and watch the movie.
Okay. And the last movie you watched?
Last movie How to Train a Dragon 2.
How to Train a Dragon?
How to Train a Dragon 2.
Okay.
I just watched that on all the road trips. I always down on my iPad. I got an Amazon account and I download movies. Last one I downloaded was How to Train a Dragon 2. Pretty good movie.
Okay. If Coach comes over for dinner, what are you going to cook? What are you going to cook for him?
I'm really limited when it comes to cooking, but I can cook some pasta and chicken.
That's your go-to dish then?
Yeah, that's my go-to dish.
Okay. I noticed you were wearing 32, number 32 throughout college. And then I believe 33 when you were in Bulgaria last 2 seasons ago, right?
Yeah.
And then back to 32 last year. I guess 32 was available. You're wearing 9. Any significance to the number?
No. 32 actually wasn't. They in Bonn, you see the numbers like starting at like 4 and go to like 19. So I would have gone to 32, but they keep the low numbers here. So I went
Okay.
with 9.
But there's no significance to
They're
that.
kind of, yeah, no. But I mean, it's kind of like 9. It's because in the States in college you can have a number that's either like 1 through 5. So you can have like 32 because both digits gotta be 1 through 5. So it's easier for the refs to make the foul calls. Once you go to the NBA, if you're in the NBA, then you can add like 9 or 17 numbers like that, but in college you can't, and obviously overseas you can. So this is the first time I've had a number like that, so it's kind of different.
You mentioned the NBA. I imagine it's probably the dream of yours. What's your thoughts in general about the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that every person that's, playing basketball, their goal is to play at the highest level. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just something that is, I mean, if it happens, it happens. But I mean, I'm just continuing to work and just worry about my, not really worry about where I end up, and just enjoy playing basketball. For a job right now, it's pretty special. It's definitely a cool experience, and so far I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
All right, here's a tough question. And being 2 years out of USF, you may have forgotten the answer, but what's a Don? For those who might not know, the University of San Francisco, the mascot is the Dons. So what's a Don?
A Don. Okay, what is a Don? A Don is a... I do know this.
Sounds like a test question you're trying to remember again, huh?
Yeah. He's like a... I know our mascot is like a... He's like a sword fighter.
Don Francisco.
I mean, have you seen... Yeah, have you seen the pictures?
Uh-huh,
any
yeah.
pictures of... Yeah. Yeah, this is the best way I can describe him. like a Spanish sword fighter. I could be wrong. I never even really asked. I just saw her. I mean, I can tell you what he looks like, but
it's an exactly. Don is an acronym for De Origen Noble, so of noble origin. So it says that all USF students and alumni are of noble origin who share in the long passion for learning in order to better understand the past, clarify the present, and anticipate the future. So there you go.
All right. Oh, yeah. First time I heard that.
Okay.
Thank you.
There were, I guess the original university team name was the Gray Fog. And then,
was
it? I can't remember when this was. I guess in 31, then they were looking at it, naming them either the Dons was given as the name. They were talking about the Vigilantes, the Golden Gators, the Seagulls, the Seals, or the Sea Lions.
Wow.
Some fascinating University of San Francisco stuff, huh?
Yeah.
All right. You were coached in San Francisco by Rex Walters, who had a great college career and a pretty solid NBA career. What would you say you learned most from Coach Walters?
I would say I learned a lot, just like how to. Like the way he ran his program, I thought was just really, really professional. Obviously, he's played in the NBA. He's played at the highest level. He played at the highest level in college. So, and he's played for some played for like Pat Riley. He's played for Boy Williams. He's played for some like really good coaches. So I think he tries to emulate the way a little bit the way he was coached when he was playing. And obviously those are some great coaches. I think a lot of stuff he does with his team, that's what he did when he was playing for guys like that. So I just think it's really, really professional, and just he's a really good coach. Gets the best out of his players, and I had a really good experience playing at University of San Francisco.
You have a very Italian name and an Italian passport. How strong is the connection to Italy?
I wish it was stronger. Actually, I haven't gone to Italy yet. I look forward to going there
in a couple of weeks.
I think maybe in a couple of weeks, yeah, for Euro Cup. So I'm actually really excited about that. But it's not that fun. I don't speak the language or anything, but it'd be nice if I can learn it and if I can get it stronger, to be honest. It's something I want to do.
And do you know if you have family over there at all? Or do you know how the
I'm
family
not.
tree, how the family tree got to
Yeah.
the U.S. and all?
Yeah, I know that my grandpa's parents were born there, but yeah, I'm not sure if anyone is still there, any of my relatives are still there that are alive or not. Yeah, that'd be definitely something that I'm interested in, checking out and finding out.
You have a couple of guys who play international basketball, for Germany, and would you ever consider playing for the Italian national team if it came to that?
Yeah, if I could, I would love to. That would be awesome. Obviously, they have some pretty good players. Yeah, that would be an honor to play for them.
Have they approached you at all? Is there any, or are you thinking of asking them at all, or just if they come to you, then whenever they come to you, they come to you?
Yeah, I think if I hopefully, if I play well enough and they like the way I play, then I'll have a chance. So, kind of we'll see, right?
Let's stick your family real quick. Your brother played soccer at USF. Your sister's still playing volleyball, or is she just finished?
She just finished
She
at Cal Berkeley.
was at Cal Berkeley. Okay.
She was at USF though.
Okay,
She was at
and she
USF when I
moved.
was there.
Okay, and she moved. Okay.
Yeah.
And the and your cousin played beach volleyball at three Olympics. What game did the family play most at home? What sport?
We played them all growing up, I'm not gonna lie. I loved baseball when I was younger. I played baseball. We'd always play wiffle ball in the back of the house, in our backyard. Me and my brothers. I have two younger brothers, one younger sister. We were pretty close with our neighbors. We'd always play. We played wiffle ball. We played baseball a lot. I mean, basketball a lot as well. We also played roller hockey in the street. I didn't play as much soccer at home, but I mean, I was on a soccer team. I played a lot of soccer, just not at home, really. Obviously, you need a bigger field for that. But yeah, I kind of played everything. I played volleyball too growing up. I was on a volleyball team. Played football, American football. Yeah, we kind of just played everything.
And who would you say is the best athlete of the family?
Best athlete. My mom was pretty good.
I
She
saw you
was
said
a
that
she
somewhere.
got her yeah she got her number was retired at Pepperdine. She was a All-American there, all-time leading scorer in basketball. She's in the Hall of Fame at Mitty as well, or the high school she went to. Yeah, she was good.
And who's the best at one of the other siblings' sports?
My brother's really good at soccer. My younger brother, he's good. He's a good basketball player. He really knows the game well, just because he's been around it so long, watching us play. I think he can make a good coach someday, because he's so advanced mentally in the sport. But my sister Joan, she was a beast in volleyball. She just used to competing with her three brothers, two older brothers. So I think her mentality was a little different than most girls on the court. She was just fierce out there, and yeah, she was really good. She was actually she was on the all Pac-10 team. She was on the all WCC team when she was at USF. I don't know if she was number one all time, and she's up there in assists in 2 years. She just played 2 years at Cal, but she's up there in all-time assists for Cal. She was a setter in her senior year. She was also honorable mention for an All-American, so she was pretty good.
And both volleyball and obviously soccer are played professionally here in Germany. Are there any thoughts, any plans or dreams, whatever, to play either of those sports professionally for your brother or sister? Get him over here so you have some family.
Yeah, exactly. My sister, her main thing is she's kind of been close to home her whole life. We went to San Francisco and then Cal Berkeley, where she went, is only about an hour from home. She's kind of hesitant to go over and be out by herself and play, to be honest. But ideally for her, if she can get some on volleyball team near. Is there any near Bonn? She'd probably try that, but besides that, I think she's just too afraid.
Yeah.
To go over and play.
I'm not sure exactly where the women's volleyball teams are, but it might be. So you said you were a big baseball fan as a youngster. Giants or A's?
Giants.
And so you have them winning the World Series then?
Yeah, ideally that would be nice. We've had season tickets since I've been young, so I've gone to a lot of Giants games. My brothers have been going lately and telling me about it. A little jealous, honestly, come over here. But I've been following the Giants. It's been tough because these World Series games have been on at like 2 in the morning.
2 a.m.,
so it's hard
for me
to sleep.
Yeah.
It's been hard for me to sleep. I've been waking up, continually checking my phone. We had today off, so last night I woke up and actually just watched from the fifth inning on. It's 2-2 series right now, so hopefully we can pull it out in a big game tonight.
What do you think about the A's if they come down to San Jose? Would that make you any more of a fan at all, being closer to where you're from, or no?
I would probably go to more games, A's games, but I would definitely be more of a Giants fan always.
Yeah. And you mentioned you play Madden. 49ers fan or no?
Yeah, 49ers fan as well. We actually have a. They just moved to Santa Clara, which is a lot closer to where I live.
That's right there.
20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Even less than 20 minutes. My dad actually just got season tickets for them as well, four of them. So, obviously, it's football season during basketball season, so I haven't gone, but my family's been going to those, and they say it's a blast. And yeah, Niners, definitely a Niner fan.
You think Kaepernick can lead you to the title or no?
I hope so. we got a lot of injuries this time of year right now, so we need to hopefully get healthy and start playing a little bit better. But hopefully.
Let's come back to Germany. Bonn actually play their next two Euro Cup games at home against Saragossa and Paris. And then November 12th, you get to travel to Reggio Emilia. You've actually had a road game, but it was in Germany, in Bamberg. How much are you looking forward to actually leaving Germany for the first time? And that obviously being going down to Italy, but in general, just being able to finally see something else.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just be a great experience just to go to other countries and play. It was just something cool to be able to say you did, and definitely something really, really unique and fun to experience. So I'm definitely excited to. A little bit around Europe and playing these games.
You guys are right now at 0-2 and kind of in a hole with a home loss. In general, thoughts about how the Euro Cup campaign has gone?
Yeah, obviously we started slow. Our first game, I don't know if you saw what happened, but the other team hit, and I think they hit three or four threes in the final minute.
Yeah.
Come back, and they got us on the buzzer beater. It was a tough loss. We thought we had it, but it didn't work out. We thought we played well, though, obviously, except for the final stretch. So we feel like we could have won that. But, I mean, we're definitely in a little hole, but I think we can turn it around if we just continue to work and stay the course.
And back to the BICO BBL, you guys are right now at 3-3. It's always a dogfight for the final playoff spots. You have teams that, even a team like Hagen, who's had some heartbreaking losses, they're down at 1-5. Skyliners are probably a little bit better than they're 1-4, and so they're gonna probably come back up and at least give a fight for the playoff spots. Maybe what the team needs to do to be in the playoffs, which I imagine is the minimum goal for the season.
Obviously it's really tough. Obviously nothing's given. Doesn't matter what team you are, who you play, any given night in this league, you could lose if you don't bring your A game. Obviously, we saw that last week in Munich. It's just a really good league. But I just think we just need to continue to get better. The season's still really early. We got tons of games left. So, I'd say right now, you got to focus on your own team, focus on continuing to get better. And if you just continue to get better, hopefully things will work out for you. And you'll get a lot more wins than losses.
What do you think about your former team? 5 wins in a row, up there battling with the bees, the Bayern, Berlin, and Bamberg, along with Oldenburg for the top spots right now. What do you think about NBC being up there?
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they're playing really well right now. Coach over there does a great job with the team, and their whole organization is nice. Well, Ryan is really professional, and yeah, they have a good team this year. So yeah, they're playing well, and that's cool to see. I was playing for them last year, so I'm always rooting for them. I know some of the guys, a lot of the guys on the team still, so I'm always checking in with them, just talking to them a little bit. But yeah, it's nice to see that they're playing well and doing actually really well right now. With 5-1 or 4-1, whatever. Is it 5-1?
5-1, yeah. Five in a row. 5 wins in a row. So.
Yeah, so that's really cool to see.
And you haven't been around very much in the professional basketball. So I mean, you don't have a lot of teams really. Just this is your third team. What's it gonna be like on December 13th when you do go back to NBC to Weissenfels to play against NBC?
It'll be a special night for me. I really had a great time there last year. The fans are great. The whole organization's great. I love playing for Coach there. And obviously, it was for NBC last year. It was what NBC's, I think it was one of NBC's best years in the BBL. So that was a nice accomplishment for the club. Obviously, this year they're off to a great start. Could looks like they're going to do better than that. But yeah, it'll be fun to go back and see everyone, see the players, see the fans. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that.
All right, fantastic stuff, Angelo. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time on an off day, the best of luck, both in the Euro Cup and the BICO BBL, and enjoy the trip down to Italy for the first time, and enjoy going to Paris and And just the best of luck to you.
Yeah, thank you. First, nice meeting you tonight, and have a good time.
Okay. Nice guy. Nice guy. Actually, introduced myself before the game, after the Euro Cup game, and called him over the weekend. And it's an interesting team. I still think they need a little bit of help to really be a title contender. Calerio really, gives them a versatile guy. Eugene Lawrence is a good point guard who runs a decent show. Brooks can jump out of the gym. McConnell can shoot anywhere, and he's be anywhere on the court, and he's in range. You gotta like a guy like Vaikalas, but they're just not very, very strong at the bigs. Klavisios, Wachowski, Matrick. They're not the greatest of bigs, and so this team looks a lot different if a guy like Jamal McClain, who's over in Bonn, if he was still on the team, if a guy like Tony Gaffney was still on the team. But obviously those guys are out different places, so they're going to have to do just going to have to try to do with what they have. I do like Calerio going to the Italian national team. I really think that would be a pretty interesting group with him. He's 203, can do a lot of things. Power forward, he could shoot. I was really looking forward to seeing the game against Bamberg, because I hadn't seen him play only other than the All-Star game. Which he played last year, but All-Star game, you really can't say anything about an All-Star game. So seeing him, it was good, and I think he would be a pretty interesting addition, just with the versatility that he would give the Italian national team. Obviously, that's up to Italy to go to him and see see if he wants to play. As far as I know, Hackett is a regular Italian. He's not a naturalized Italian, so he could be the one. Although I don't know if he's been naturalized either. That'd have to be figured out. So I guess that's the show. You can definitely get used to shorter shows. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, I guess we'll just have to see. I just want to then let you know the music that you did and will hear. The song at the beginning, the short little bit, and play full length at the end, is a song called "Real Swing Shet" from Menage Quad, and of course, it is available on freemusicarchive.org. So hope you enjoyed the show. Please drop me emails, drop me tweets, Twitter questions. High News is my Twitter feed, and would love to get your dialogue and see if we can keep this boat afloat. Definitely thank you for listening to the show, and hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk next week.